Yeah, it's good to see each one of you this morning. And I hope the Lord blesses you this morning in his own special way. The way he does is he talks to your heart and my heart, and we know that we're identifying that. The Lord is actually, moving and talking to our heart. It is such a blessing. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I ask, Father, please, that you will bless your word as we look at it. I pray that you will carry this message exactly how you want it carried, and I pray that it will magnify you. I pray it will reveal you, Father, and I pray it will encourage us and equip us to be that much more focused on being what you call us to be, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we all have strengths and weaknesses. Probably have multiple strengths and multiple weaknesses. And I had asked my wife, I said, so what's my strength? She gave me her opinion what my strength is, and I use that to look at something because we need to understand that if we identify our strengths, maybe in the process of this message you should be thinking a little bit, what do you see your strength as being in your own character? Is it kindness? Is it truthfulness? Is it leadership? Is it friends? Whatever. What seems to be the most important thing to you that you have the strongest, most positive attribute to reflect off? We need to understand that our strength can also be our weakness. Identify your strength. How can it be your weakness? And that's kind of a weird oxymoron. You're talking about our personal strengths. Well, that's something we should all be depending on, relying on, in that sense that God's given us certain attributes of strength in certain areas. Endurance. Just different areas. You get the idea as we move along. So I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you here, because most of you that know me on a more personal basis have experienced this in friendship with me in this regard. First, my wife says my main strength is that of being or having a tender heart for people. And the problem, and not that it's a problem to be tender-hearted toward people and to care about people and to be sensitive about people's feelings, is that my weakness in caring about people is that I'm always, not always, I can find myself falling into the snare of worrying about people's feelings all the time. So I can have a compassion, and I can be sincere, and I can, and my strength can be I really care about you. And yet I can also allow myself to begin to worry more than what I should, if that's acceptable. Some will say you shouldn't worry at all or have concerns more than that's acceptable, all right? So my strength is a tender heart for people. My weakness is that I worry about people and their feelings. And then my failure is that I can be overly concerned about people's feelings, okay? I've had my friends tell me, why are you apologizing for that? Why did you say I'm sorry? It's kind of like a reminder, like, okay, back up and don't worry. That type of thing. But then I wanted to understand, too, that Satan's tactic in my own life, because of my strength of caring and being sensitive or feelings for people, that Satan's tactic on me is that he can bring my focus. It's to bring my focus or my attention on people rather than God. On one hand, my strength, again, is a tender heart for people. My weakness is that I worry about people, how people are feeling. My failure is that I can be overly concerned about people's feelings. And Satan's tactic is to bring my attention on people rather than on God. Nothing wrong with having feelings. Nothing wrong with caring. Nothing wrong with saying I'm sorry. But to what level do we allow ourselves to be pulled into a vacuum that distresses us, and that's not God's intention? Believe me, I'm learning. The only way that I can handle my own emotions and my own feelings for people when I find myself falling in that is to just turn back and look to God and give my concern to God and trust him to take care of it. We were talking about that in Sunday school, relying on God's grace. If we can go for days thinking about something or an issue and we're overwhelmed by it, and then as the comment was made, we may have a V8 moment and say, well, turn it over to God. And when we learn to let go and really let God, it's as cliche-ish that statement is, it's still a practical application in our life that we rely on God to take care of our concerns. I think that's a viable application to our lives. It's biblical. So I want to look at three examples this morning of people who failed at their point of greatest strength. Kind of a weird twist. And the reason why I'm going this direction in this message is because if we're focused on walking with Jesus, if we're focused and our desire is to be what God wants us to be, then we need to learn what our strengths and weaknesses are and how Satan manipulates that. And how we're to be able to catch that, and then we respond in a way that brings glory to God. Let's look at some examples. Abraham. Now, for my sake, maybe for your sake, but for my sake, before God gave Abraham the promise that he would make him a father of many nations, his name was Abram. Well, every time I read this passage and it says an Abram, I don't connect that it's Abraham. So for my sake, I'm saying it's Abraham. Okay? So if you're reading your Bible, it says Abram, it means Abraham. So Abraham's strength, what he was known for, what was part of the earmarks of his character, was his faith in God. If one of the earmarks of my personal character is that of a tender heart for God and people, the earmark of the strength for Abraham was his faith in God. Romans 4:16 through 18 says, "This is why the promise is by faith, so that if it may be according to grace to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of Abraham's faith." The focus here is Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all, not biologically, but he's the father of our faith. He's the first example, biblically, of faith that way. In God's sight, he is the father of us all in God's sight. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." He believed in God, who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations according to what had been spoken, "So will your descendants be." And again, emphasizing that Abraham is a spiritual type of father for you and I. His example of faith in God, obedience to God, trust in God, seeing God work through yielding his life to him is an example of faith. And you and I have that faith in God as well. But this is his strength. This is his strength. But I want to look at Abraham's weakness, where he found himself having a lack of faith in God. Isn't that weird oxymoron? He's known for his faith in God, but the weakness was his lack of faith in God. Well, that just, what's in the middle there? Well, let's look. Genesis 12:10 through 20. "There was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, 'Look, I know what a beautiful woman you are.'" Now, before I go any further, I want you to understand, Sarah was 10 years younger than Abram, and she was 65 years old, and she was a knockout at 65. So much so that Abraham knew and said, "I know that you are beautiful, and they're going to see who you are too." Okay, so we've got an issue here, right? Not that she's beautiful, but what it creates. "So when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me, but let you live. Please say you're my sister, so it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account." Now, if you're not aware of it, Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. Okay? She was his half-sister. And so Abraham is saying to his wife, who is also his half-sister, "Please declare that you're my sister and not my wife, because in this culture they're going to take you because of your beauty, put you in Pharaoh's harem, and they're going to kill me to get you. So please say that you're my sister." Okay? So Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. She was a powerful woman. She was a rich woman as Abram's wife. So the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He treated Abram well because of her, and Abram acquired flocks and herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. In other words, she did what Abram asked. Verse 17, but the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarai. This was not pleasing to God. So Pharaoh sent for Abram and said, what have you done to me? Why don't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her as my wife? Now, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. What was strength? Faith. He was known for that. What was the weakness here? His lack of faith that God would protect him. Right? In fact, he decided to take control in his own hands and devise his own way to protect himself instead of taking the burden and the concern and giving it to God and letting him have it and take care of it. That was not what he was supposed to do. And so Abraham's failure was not having faith that God would protect him and trying to take care of the situation himself by lying, because he didn't tell them that Sarah was his wife. What was Satan's tactic? To give Abraham a false sense of faith in himself by doing things his way rather than having faith in God. Isn't that what Christians and non-Christians do? They say, I'm going to do it my way so I'll have my own security and be assured that I've done it the way I want it to be done. That's true for believers and non-believers. But in particular for Christians, we are not to do that. We're to give everything to God and trust him, even though we don't know how he's going to work it out. I've found in my own walk that when I've faced the mountains before me, you know, I've mentioned before from the pulpit that praying for a mountain in front of me, that God would take care of it. Well, it took years of praying, but God took care of that mountain. But it took me giving it to God and trusting him to take care of that mountain, that issue, that concern, that burden, that overwhelming issue that I had no control over. God took care of that. And it brought God glory. It manifested his power. That's the point here, that Abram was missing out on an opportunity to reveal the power of God amongst the pagan society. That he could testify, God took care of me and my wife, even though culturally this is what should have happened. They should have killed me and taken her. Here's another example of strengths and weaknesses. Moses. Let's look at Moses. Moses' strength was his humbleness. Remember, Moses had a speech impediment. I can kind of relate to that. You know, dyslexic, a little speech therapy. You know, little speech issues here and there. And I can relate to that. But his strength, what Moses was known for was how humble he was before God. Numbers 12:3 says, Moses was a very humble man, more so than any man on the face of the earth. That's God acknowledging the strength of Moses as being more humble than any man on earth. Wow. And then it says in Numbers 20:10-11, Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff so that a great amount of water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Moses' weakness was that his humbleness became pride. Moses, when he came off the mountain, saw all the Israelites who made a golden calf and were worshiping it while he was up on Mount Sinai meeting with God for 40 days, came down and saw them reverting to paganism from their Egyptian culture, and he threw the tablets of stone down and broke them all up out of his anger, out of his pride over the issue. Instead of being humble before God and giving it to God. So Moses' strength is his humbleness. God noted he's the most humble man on earth. But his failure was his pride. In pride, he said he would bring water out of the rock and struck it in anger. God had commanded Moses not to strike the rock. You understand what I'm talking about? They're in the desert. The Israelites are thirsty. They're complaining that Moses doesn't have enough water. And God says to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. Don't strike the rock. And water will come out of it. Wouldn't that be awesome to see? Wow. But Moses gets so frustrated with the people that he struck it twice. Fine, you bullheaded, stubborn, unthankful people. Boom, boom. Struck the rock. Well, that's not what God said. Well, then it appeared that it was Moses' power. And it was done because he got angry and he took the authority to handle it his way instead of God's way. And the people didn't see God's power revealed. And so the glory of God was not given as God intended it to be. So Satan's tactic here, Satan used Moses' pride to hinder the message God was going to present originally by providing the water the correct way through God. Pride. Satan used pride instead of humility. He went against the humility of Moses and stirred his pride. Do you understand the point where I'm going with this? That if he's known for humbleness, and you kind of build you up and you've got that confidence and you've kind of convinced yourself, yeah, I am humble or whatever. Or yeah, I am strong in faith. Whatever our strength is, realize that Satan will use that strength to cause us to stumble if we're not watching. So again, Moses' strength was humbleness. His weakness was, his humbleness became pride. His failure and pride, he said he would bring water out of the rock and struck it in anger. And Satan's tactic was, Satan used Moses' pride to hinder the message God was going to present originally by providing water, the water the correct way through God. Okay, number three, the third person, Peter. Peter's strength. What was Peter's strength, the Apostle Paul? When you think of Peter, what do you think of? He was, impetuous, thank you. He was impetuous, he was bold, he had passion, he was, in my opinion, a hothead, and responded quickly, on the spot, okay, to his emotions. So Peter's strength was his bravery and boldness. I'm going to take care of this, and he didn't care what the challenge was. In fact, he was one of those guys where I love the challenge, just get into it, that type of thing. Okay, God knew that. Matthew 26:35, it says, even if I have to die with you, Peter told him, speaking of Jesus, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. Peter made it clear that he would never deny Christ. Peter also told Jesus, when Jesus told him that he was going to be killed, delivered up and killed, Peter stepped in and says, I won't let that happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That wasn't the plan of God. But Peter was the one that stepped up amongst all the disciples. He's kind of like the leader of the disciples. He steps up, Lord, I got something to tell you. We're not going to let that happen to you. You see, that's how Peter was. Impetuous, bold, okay? And brave. And so, what was Peter's weakness? His bravery or boldness led to him harm of others and became cowardice. Instead of being bold, he became a coward. And in fact, he boldly denounced Christ in his cowardice. Wow. Let's look at that in John 18:10-11. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. Was that impetuous? Yeah. Did Jesus need Peter's help? No. Was Jesus in control of everything? Absolutely. And yet, here they've got the high priest of Caiaphas, and he's coming with the crowd of soldiers, and they're going to take Jesus away. And the first thing, and Peter's heard, you know, they're going to deliver me up and kill me. And the first thing that Peter does, he comes up and he grabs his sword and whoosh, cuts off Malchus's ear. he was trying to step in and take charge in his boldness, in his impetuousness. And yet, Jesus didn't need the help. Verse 11, at that, Jesus said to Peter, sheathe your sword, put it away. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me? Jesus is in control. You know, one of the things that is amazing about the garden scene is that when they asked who he was, they asked him, are you the Christ? Or he said, I am who I am. And all the soldiers fell over as if they were dead. God's in control. So you're getting the picture of what Peter being bold, Peter being brave, yet he denied Christ. Look at John 18, 15 through 17. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple, that was John, by the way, that disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who was the doorkeeper said to Peter, You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you? I am not, he said. And he was asked three times, and each time he got bolder. In fact, he even started cussing and got loud, and he denied that he knew Christ. When I see that picture of the courtyard, the little fire pits are going, they're trying to keep warm, it's late. He's listening to what's happening to Jesus. Someone recognizes him as being a disciple of Christ. And he said, and they ask him, and he says, I am not. And they ask him, I am not. And they ask him again, and he says a few choice words and says, I'm not. I think about the fact that he's being absolutely bold in his denial. But it was in his cowardice, because of his pride, that he did not want to stand up for Christ. Is that true for us? Can we find ourselves being bold about some things, but scared to stand boldly for Christ? I think it's true. I know it is in my life because of the challenge. And we can be critical of each one, but it doesn't mean that we don't fail in these areas too. So what are we to do, you and I? We're to be aware of who we are, what our strengths are, and how Satan will try to counteract our strengths and use them against us. It takes a little thinking. You might ask yourself the question, what is your strength? If you don't know, ask your spouse or your best friend or your brother or your sister and say, what strength do you see in me? And then you might ask yourself, then what is your weakness? How does it correlate with your strength? How have I failed this way in the past? And try to analyze for yourself, then what is tactic Satan that he uses on me to knock me down when Christ wants me to stand up for him? It takes a little bit of effort, it takes a little bit of transparency and a willingness of heart to honestly see who we are. And we need to do that. So Peter's failure was his bravery or boldness became cowardice, and he denied Jesus. Satan's tactic was to use Peter's boldness to hinder God's plan and to ultimately remove Peter from God's kingdom work through cowardice and shame by denying Christ. So here's a conclusion. Know your strengths and be aware of Satan's tactics to turn those strengths into weaknesses. Depend on God to use your strength for his kingdom purposes. If you're kingdom-minded, kingdom focus, desire to be, learn those strengths and weaknesses and the tactics of Satan in your own life that you might stand bold for Christ. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I totally depend upon you to do your work and to convey those things in this message that you want each of us to know. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you have used this message, Father, to bring some thoughts to the forefront of brothers and sisters in Christ, that none of us will ever convince ourselves that we're absolutely secure in our own strength, but that we're always challenged to yield ourselves to you, to surrender to you, to rely on you, and to trust you to carry out your work in and through our lives. And I pray, Father, that we'll become bolder and more committed and more faithful and more in love with you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.